What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Bec Antonucci. This podcast episode today is an absolute banger of an episode and is all about the woman connecting back to the innate wisdom of your body, trusting your body to be your wisdom keeper. And I'm going to tell you how I know that you can already do this. Has there ever been something that's occurred in your life where it's occurred later on down the track, and then when you're reflecting on that thing that occurred, there was a part of you that said to yourself, I already knew this was going to happen. I already knew. How did you know? How did you know? You knew because there was some kind of intelligence coming from within you that was speaking to you, but it's likely that our minds chose to override the wisdom, the innate wisdom that was coming from our internal knowing, and we justified and we rationalized and we used logic and maybe we hoped and maybe we desired an outcome that we knew couldn't be true, but there was a part of us, a deep part of us that already knew, that already predicted, that already visualized the outcome that occurred, because your body is so freaking smart. So smart. Your truest truth already knows. Your desires already could guide you if you cultivated trust to allow them to lead. And so this is a real process, and I'm not sharing from a place of I'm ahead of you, I'm in front of you, I'm better than you. I mean, I never want to share like that anyway, but I'm sharing from a place of this is the path that I am on right now, because there is a part of Rebecca that is so smart and a part of my logical, structured, intellectual mind that will just, I'll just do the right things and achieve the things, and on the other side of doing and working and achieving, then I will feel, fill in the blank, XYZ, happy, love, fulfilled, accepted, self-loving, whatever that word is, happy, joyful. But we've all done that. We've all done that where we've lived from our head, attempting to attain and gain a feeling. But where do feelings come from? Not our fucking mind. So why are we trying to mind muscle our way to feeling? Why are we doing that? So this episode dives into how we can begin to start to trust the wisdom of our body. And I share through multiple experiences. I share through a story that occurred in a true transformation group of mine. I share through a dating experience. So if you are one of my HSV babes and you experience outbreaks, you are going to want to tune into this. If you're someone that is looking to heal their relationship with food, fitness, and your body, you are going to want to listen to this. If you are a woman who is just desiring to be able to cultivate trust with her own internal knowing, you are going to want to listen to this. Strap yourself in, woman, because this is one hell of an episode. And if you like it, if you love it, please screenshot it, share it to your story, and tag me so that I can connect with you. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of an episode. Let's fucking go. I desired to start this episode today really emphasizing how much society lives so much of our lives top down rather than from the place of bottom up. And what I mean by that is how much we are so mind driven in our lives versus tuning into the innate wisdom that our body holds as our teacher and our speaker, and basically our internal compass that can guide us towards our desire and away from what we don't want for our lives. And yet, based on our programming, based on conditioning, based on what we've been taught, we live so much of our lives from our minds. And I really believe that this is why there's such a big disconnect between the high-performing woman and our complete lack of fulfillment. The reason that I'm sharing this with you is this came up in one of my True Transformation group calls this morning. Some women were saying, I just don't even know what I desire. And how do I even access this knowing of what my desires even are? And of course, we haven't actually been taught to connect with our desires and even ask ourselves what it is that we desire. We've been told Well, you go to school, and when you finish school, you go to uni or you go to college. And after you finish school, uni or college, you get a really good job. And once you get that really good job, you go and then get a husband. And once you get that husband, you two lay down a slab of property in Australia, and then you build a house, and then you have a baby, and then maybe you have two or three more babies, and then that's life. Isn't that what you're meant to desire? And we're all like, is that what I'm meant to desire? Because I have so many women who are 30 who come to me and say, I'm not happy and fulfilled and I'm not successful. I'm like, okay, well, how are you not successful? I'm not married. I haven't laid down a slab. I haven't built a house. I don't have a mortgage. And when I left uni, I decided uni was shit and I didn't go and get the job that my dad told me I should have got when I was a teenager. And I'm kind of like, what even is life? But I tried to do the things that society told me to do and I ended up really unhappy. And now I'm this high-performing woman who feels really unfulfilled and completely disconnected to myself, but I don't even know what I want because I'm so disconnected from my own desire, which is ultimately telling me that that woman is disconnected from her body and has lived her life in her head doing what society told her, told me, told you what to do. And so I felt really inspired to share this with you today. And I wanted to title this podcast, Trust Your Body to Be Your Wisdom Keeper. And I believe that the wisdom of our body holds the key to our desires. And I'm not saying that I am embodied in this journey. I'm literally declaring and sharing with you that I am on this journey too, that I have lived so much of my life in my head, trying to perform, trying to achieve, playing the outside in game. Once I get XYZ, then I will feel XYZ. But we've all played that game where we've gone and done the work to get the thing. Whatever the thing is, the car, the house, the boyfriend, the money, the business, the perfect Instagram body, the Instagram followers, the clients, we've gone and got the thing that we think will make us feel fulfilled, happy, deeply loving of self, accepting of self. And then what happens? Day arrives and I don't feel the thing. And then we try and work for something else outside of ourselves. And we just keep further perpetuating the cycle of nothing I do is ever good enough. And I just have to keep running on this hamster wheel, trying to achieve something that will make me finally feel something. So then I'll finally be worthy, loved, liked, accepted, and feel fulfilled from within. But everything that I'm trying to attain outside of myself isn't making me feel anything within myself. And oh my God, when will this hamster wheel stop? I believe that the moment the hamster wheel stops is a point in time that we commit to connecting within ourselves and to the wisdom of our body. And so our wisdom keeper, our body, can lead us towards our desire. This can be the compass for our lives. I believe it's very courageous. I believe it's the path that I'm on right now, and it fucking comes with a whole heap of challenges. Yes, living from the mind leaves you unfulfilled, but living from the heart, oh my God, no one told me it would be this terrifying. But it really is. It's like liberating and terrifying. I know in my podcast episode that I released this week, I was like, I'm through the veil. That was my introduction. Literally the weekend just gone, I'd gone straight back into the deep darkness of the decisions I'd made. I was like, fuck, I felt so liberated 2 weeks ago. And that wave of doubt and, oh my God, did I really just uproot my entire life? That wave came all over again. So following your heart and trusting the innate wisdom of your body, yes, beautiful and powerful, and I really believe is guiding us towards the path and on the path that we really all came here to live, and also comes with its own unique set of life obstacles that God is going to present in front of us. So both kind of come with hard. We just get to choose which hard we ultimately want to face off with, because living from the head and being completely unfulfilled or settling for a life lesser than what you're really deserving, desiring, wanting, calling in, that's hard to live with that every day, even if it's nice, even if it's okay, even if it's like, oh, well, it's good enough. Good enough for most of us isn't enough. Whereas the fulfillment, the intensity, the passion, the purpose, the pleasure, the expansion that's on the desire path, well, that comes with facing off with all of the parts of the self that we're dying off to, and that's fucking brave all on its own. But there was another avenue that I desired to go down for this conversation today when it comes to trusting the innate wisdom of your body and using your body as your wisdom keeper, and that is to really become attuned to the symptoms that occur in your body that are speaking to you. And now, this is for the women who resonate with the herpes conversation. You all know that I've gone through the breakup and that I'm in Bali. I released the episode about dating on Tinder in Bali. So just taking you back to my prior breakup 10 years ago, that was very traumatic, incredibly painful, just drenched in shame and embarrassment, humiliation. Obviously, the whole herpes piece was attached to it. I was completely brokenhearted. And then that's when I became really angry at men and just really angry at the world, really fighting this lack of control that I felt over this virus being in my body that I couldn't rid and free myself of, that I felt that I didn't choose. I just felt so hurt, so betrayed, so upset with myself, so upset with the man who passed it to me, the partner who didn't listen to me. I was just in such intense amounts of pain. And then I became very reactive. So 25-year-old Rebecca was like, well, I got the slut virus. I mean, I have a whole different personal definition of what the word slut means now, but at the time, slut was like a really bad word. And I was like, no, sex is sacred. So when I was like, well, fuck, I got this slut virus now from barely even sleeping with anyone, I may as well just go out and act like that because look what I ended up with, not acting that way. And so I was very reckless and I was sexually reckless. And so in this breakup 10 years later, I think I forgot all the work that I've done over 10 years. And I was like, I'm about to go and have some fun. And the thing about being a conscious human is even though there's that reckless part of Rebecca, I'm imagining like a little devil over my shoulder. It's like, yeah, let's go liberate ourselves sexually. And we're going to go have the threesomes and all of our desires met and everything I didn't get to experience this past 3 years. I'm about to be so sexually fulfilled. Well, then there's this other part of me, which is like the conscious part that's like, yeah, no, we're actually just going to grieve our relationship because we really loved your partner. Oh, yeah, we're probably not just going to share our body with anyone because we actually value monogamy and being really intentional about who we choose to share our body with. Yeah, we're not going to avoid any part of this experience by just having a reckless one-night stand with someone. If you desire to do that, it can be a conscious experience. And there's a part of me that's like, what? What's this level-headed behavior that's happening in this breakup? What do you mean? I was so excited for the recklessness. And so there's been no recklessness as much as I thought that there would be. There's not been any. Not been any. I'm like, fuck, being a conscious human can be so annoying sometimes. I really thought I'd be having all the fun, but I'm not. There's even a part of me that was like, oh, I just really wanted this experience for Jake, the pleasure and the desire and the intimacy and all the reckless sexual liberated thoughts that the reckless devil version of me thinks of. The conscious version of me is like, we really wanted this with him. So we're not just going to start throwing ourselves out there like before. We're not mad and angry at the world. We're just sad, hurt and grieving right now and healing. So let that be a tunnel of darkness and a beacon of light that once you go down this path, you stop being reactive. It's very annoying. Anyway, to really move ahead with our story, I did share the episode about dating on Tinder in Bali, and I am finding that A, highly amusing. And what I love about it, which I've shared in the past, is how much I'm able to really embody the work that I teach around communicating desires, setting boundaries, knowing our no, knowing our yes. And I went on a coffee and a dinner date with this one man, and for the sake of this episode, we'll call him Bill. Bill is good looking, and I'm just going to put it out there. I really feel, and you can challenge me on this, that as women, we make excuses or we give a little bit of bandwidth for good looking people. Bill's good looking. He's 6'4". He's really attractive. He's pretty sexy. He's wealthy. So, you know, all of these things are like, oh, give him a little bit of leeway. Anyway, we go for coffee. Coffee was actually wonderful. We go for dinner, and all Bill did, whilst Bill had a very mature view about life and the things he had to talk about were really interesting, all Bill did was talk about Bill. And I was like, are you fucking kidding, bro? Like, do you know what a reciprocal, dynamic, two-way conversation is? Is this what dating is in 2023, where all good-looking men do is sit across from me at a dinner table and talk about themselves? Like, literally, I think I would ask 30 questions to every one question that he asked. Anyway, after that, I was like, you know what? I think I'm a no to seeing Bill again. Then I leave and Bill texts me. Bill didn't even tell me I looked beautiful, and I put effort into the way that I looked. I feel very beautiful here in Bali. Had my big curly hair, my bright blue eyes, wearing my favorite clothes. I looked gorgeous. Like, multiple strangers on the street stopped me to tell me how beautiful I looked. I really felt magnetic, and he didn't even acknowledge how beautiful I looked. So I was like, didn't like that. Didn't like that I'd gone on a date, put energy and effort into my appearance, felt really magnetic, and that wasn't even acknowledged. But when I left, he started texting, oh my God, you look so beautiful. And he sent all of these things. I'm like, oh, so disappointing that you didn't have the courage to communicate this to me as I was sitting in front of you. I would have loved to have heard this come from his mouth while he was sitting opposite me and be able to look me in the eye as he was saying it to me. But I was like, okay, Rebecca, this is a great example of more of your desires coming online. The text messages afterwards don't fulfill you. But then he starts talking to me about how sexy I am. And we'd already talked about what we desired, where this was going. And it was basically going to be some fun in Bali. And we were both on the same page because I highly value transparency. If we're going to be a one night stand, let's both be really honest about this is just going to be a one night stand. And we'd both said, he's in Bali for about 10 days. If it was going to eventuate, it would just be 10 days of fun dinners and enjoying each other. Okay, great. We both knew where we were. So we go for dinner. I didn't thoroughly enjoy the dinner. I led the dinner. I led the conversation of dinner. And what I'm inviting in is allowing men to lead me. We leave dinner. He starts texting me all the things that I would have loved him to have the confidence to say to me as he was sitting in front of me. Then he starts texting me about sex. And he is so curious about what I like. He must have spent an hour asking me so many questions about my pleasure, my orgasm, my desires, what I would love to experience. If I give him permission to tell me what he would love to do to me, what I would love him to do to me, what my boundaries are. Just so many questions. I got annoyed in a moment. I text my friend. I was like, I swear to fucking God, this stranger in Bali knows more about my orgasm than fucking Jake does by the amount of questions he's asked me in an hour compared to the amount of questions Jake has asked me in 3 years. So, you know, just riding those waves again. And so because that's obviously something that I was deeply desiring from Jake, there was a part of me that was like, dinner was shit. And I left dinner being like, nope, I'm never seeing that guy again. But all of these questions, I was like, well, this is intimately what I wanted from Jake. And I'm being presented with all of the kind of questions I would have loved him to get curious about. This sounds like this experience is going to be so much about me and my pleasure. I feel like I'm a yes. Even though my truth was once I left dinner, I'm a no to seeing that man again. Anyway, I organized to see him. I go to bed that night. And now I know nothing's TMI for any of you. But I have not had a herpes outbreak in years. I think I had three months in a row when I was really stressed, overworked, waking up on my phone, going to bed on my phone for 3 months in the entire 3 years that I was with Jake. That's the only time that I remember having an outbreak the past 5 years. I wake up the next morning once I'd said no to sleeping with him, no to seeing him again, and then made the plan to. I woke up the next morning, no fucking shit, with an outbreak. And I text the head coach of my program, Tracy. I was like, Tracy, you'll never guess what. She was like, what? I was like, I have an outbreak. And I approach it from a, oh my God, wow, my body is a miracle. My belief is if my body is screaming, she's trying to tell me something that I'm not listening. Now, I left dinner with Bill and my body said, we're not spending and sharing time with him again. Then he started speaking to all the things that I desired to hear from my past partner, and my mind and my hurt energy, my spite energy, my resentful energy, my I wish he fucking gave this to me energy and I would have stayed with you energy. That part of me was like, yep, we're going to explore this. And because I know that I'm actually a no to Bill, but I wasn't going to honor that, my body chose to honor that for me through the vehicle of an outbreak. I was like, oh my God, my body is an absolute miracle wisdom keeper. Now, I want to add another layer to this. I never, ever get unwell. I never get food poisoning. I never get Bali belly. And the first time I had organized to see Bill, I started to get food poisoning from a really well-known restaurant here that I have eaten at many times. So the first night that I was meant to go for dinner here, I started feeling unwell and I had to cancel. Then it started to clear. Then I organized to see him again. I started to get sick again. So this was me tuning in more and more and more to my body where I was like, Tracy, I'm actually starting to feel every time I agreed to seeing Bill, my body responded in a certain way. And she was like, yeah, that's really true. Every time you had a date planned, you would get sick. I was like, yes, every single time. And so I sat and asked myself, what is my body attempting to communicate to me? Well, number one, loud, clear, and obvious is you're not actually meant to share your body with Bill. But beyond that, what else was my body trying to share with me? And I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I excavated it. I explored it. What is my body trying to say? And my body was trying to say, come on, Rebecca, we're not going to rush into bed with someone else. And we're not going to go and try and get from someone else what Jake didn't give to you, just a band-aid, maybe a wound that's really here for you. What is that? Maybe it's, why wasn't I good enough for him to be able to give me what I really desired? Maybe it is, was I not pretty enough? Was I not sexy enough? Like, what not enoughness is there that I'm really buying into, that if I go and band-aid it with another man giving me exactly what I wanted from Jake, but from him, that it's just a temporary cover versus a true healing? And so I was really able to excavate and explore and ask, what is my body trying to tell me? And my body was trying to tell me, there's some exploration of self around the wound that is here for you to really dive into. And also, Rebecca, we're actually requesting that you access patience when it comes to dating, but not dating itself. Go on, have fun dating, meet these men, create the podcast, engage with your audience, share how you speak powerfully and confidently and communicate the herpes virus and date with confidence and ease, all that stuff, that's great. But sharing your body with someone, do you desire to just recklessly jump in bed with just anyone? And my answer was no. As much as my devil was like, boring, let's go back to being 25 and reckless again. My 35-year-old is like, we've done that. Meaningless sex is kind of meaningless. So yeah, you can have a one-night stand with someone when you're actually really ready to. We're not just going to be reckless about it. You're going to be really intentional about it. And I want to share with you that this conversation with my body is not just a herpes-specific thing. This is also how I began to heal my relationship with disordered eating and my very unhealthy relationship that once existed with food. And I have shared this with many of you in the past. Food and body image was actually so much harder for me to move through than the herpes virus. It existed for a lot longer. I had dysfunctional and, I'm doing air quotes here, unhealthy eating behaviors that had been occurring for a really, really long time. They were so embedded in my very reactive nervous system. And that's why I truly believe the thoughts and the conditioning was so deep and the behaviors were so repetitive and sustained over so many years. The thoughts were so repetitive, so deep, so sustained over so many years that healing and moving through that, so much harder personally than the herpes virus. But the way that I started to do this was by opening a line of communication with my body. So I had a diary and it would be me deciding that my body was separate from me, was separate from my mind and my thoughts, and my body was her own entity, her own heart, her own soul. She had her own thoughts. She had her own feelings. And so I had this diary called Communicating with My Body. And I would speak to her and be like, why, body, are you so angry at me? And she would respond and she would say things like, you try and force me to do so many things that I don't want to do. Like, I used to try and make myself exercise 3, 4, 5 hours a day. I would force myself to eat things that I didn't want to eat. Like, I eat seafood at a delicious restaurant where I know it's cooked really well. But other than that, I don't like eating seafood. Or I used to make myself drink these green shakes full of supplements and powders, and I would drink it and I would gag and I would just hate it. I'd be forcing myself to do it. I would spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on supplements. And my body was like, I don't want to swallow these. I don't want to drink this. I don't want to gag when I'm eating. I don't want to hate food. I don't want to count almonds. I don't want to sit at a dinner table and resent everyone for eating food that looks way more delicious than what I'm choosing for myself. She was so clear that there were so many no's for her that were occurring, so many boundaries that she had that I was crossing, and I was just forcing her to do so many things that she was just a no to. And learning that, seeing that on paper, that I was literally harming, hurting, forcing, betraying, controlling my body, that was the first opening to actually understanding my body is desiring something. And so then I could ask something like, well, if you don't want to drink the powdery shakes that make us gag and you don't want to swallow the supplements that cost us so much and actually don't make us feel any better about ourselves, and you don't want to exercise 5 hours a day, and you feel like I'm sacrificing my entire life to this vision of this body that we don't even actually have, what is it that you do want? And she would say things to me like, I want you to actually speak to me. I want you to ask me what I want. Like, this is a really beautiful first step. I want you to ask me what I'm feeling. I want you to not gorge food. I don't want you to overfeed me. I have a really beautiful, healthy, fit body now. And I love working out. I love exercising. I love eating healthy. But someone was asking me, they're like, why do you have such a good body? Like, well, my body has been a big wound for me in my life. And I also have a high value for health and fitness and treating my body with a lot of love, care, and respect. But I also know I absolutely hate the feeling of being overly full. So I have such a beautiful relationship now with portion control that is so innate and attuned within me that if I overeat, it actually ruins the eating experience for myself. But I had learned that over time. She was like, I want to know that I can actually have permission to eat whatever I want. And there was also a part where I used to feel so embarrassed by people seeing me enjoy food that I would hide the things that I would call quote unquote delicious, and I would only eat quote unquote healthy food in front of people. And so she would say things to me like, I don't really want to have rules around what I'm eating and how much I'm eating and things that are good and things that are bad. And I would really like you, Rebecca, to start thinking about the judgments that you have about what other people eat, because that's a mirror back within yourself. I could give you 1,000 ways in which I healed my relationship with body, including food standards, fitness standards. I mean, standards have been such a huge distinction in my life that I've worked with. But really, the starting point of that healing journey for me was opening up a channel of communication with my body and knowing that her thoughts, feelings, her heart, her soul was separate to my personality. And I say this to my clients all the time. I love to set us up for success and set the bar at a level that's achievable, maintainable, and sustainable. Because if I ask personality, Rebecca, about what I eat, what I drink, how much exercise I do, my personality would love to work out twice a day, 2 hours a day, do an ice bath, do a sauna, do a steam room every single day, get a massage every single day. But I just know that's not realistic. And so all the pressures and expectations that my personality has, I cannot allow them to run and rule my life because I'm constantly setting myself up to fail. But if I become willing to attune to my body and her needs, wants, desires, and also create a baseline of something that's maintainable and sustainable, I can actually start to live from desire and start to give my body what she's asking for and listen to her when she speaks. And the more that I do that, the more that she can guide me on my life's path of courage, because I trust her, because she trusts me, because my head isn't running the show. My head said, go and get a personal trainer. My head said, go and get a diet. My head would say, go and get antivirals. But my body says, no, my body is screaming through an outbreak right now because my body said, we are not exchanging sexual energy with this man. And then our personality, who was healing after breakup, said, this man who has asked me so many questions about my pleasure, let's just go and experience that with him so we can feel better about the past 3 years that we've gone through and the relationship breakup that we're in, because it's really painful. And because my personality was running the show in that moment, my body said, okay, better scream at this bitch, otherwise she won't listen. And so she did through the outbreak. And because I know that the outbreak is a blessing, because I know that when my body is yelling at me, that is a blessing, I know to ask the scream, whatever the scream is. Some of my clients who work with me are challenged by chronic pain. Some of my clients who work with me are challenged by vaginal bacteria and infections. Just a multitude of things that are attached to body that show up in different vehicles. For some of us, it's the herpes virus. For some of us, it's disordered eating or body dysmorphia. There's just so many vehicles that that thing could be. But ultimately, when our body is yelling at us, it is because there is something inside that we know that we are not acknowledging. And so the invitation time and time and time again is to ask yourself, how can I start to open that channel of communication with my body so that I can get out of my head and start listening to my innate inner knowing? So ultimately, I truly believe that the path that we are all on right now for every woman in this community who is really resonating with my message, I have received more private DMs about the medicine that you are receiving from this podcast more than ever. And I just want to say, I love it. It really lights me on fire to be able to hear what you receive from every episode. But what we're all really calling forward is a life led from pleasure and desire. But pleasure and desire is not a head-based experience. Pleasure and desire comes back to a felt sense of being so attuned and in tune with our body. Because can I tell you what's going to bring you pleasure? No. Can I tell you what your desires are? No. Do I know what your truest truth is? Abso-fucking-lutely not. So what am I here to do as your, I'm doing air quotes again, coach? I'm here to support you to peel back the layers and feel safe enough to connect with your body so that you can get out of your head and into your body and hear what she is trying to say to you. So if you resonated with this episode about desire, you can open up that diary, that communication with your body around, hey, body, I'm curious, what is it that I am desiring for my life right now? One of my clients and I were talking about this the other day. She's like, I feel so disconnected from my intuition. Can you please help me connect to it? I was like, okay, well, tell me. She goes, well, one path that I'm going to walk down with my husband, it feels like a smart path because monetary-wise, it's a really smart decision for us to make. But I know it's not going to make me happy. The other path, I feel so much happiness and joy and fulfillment if we were to walk that, but it doesn't feel financially like the smart option. And I reflected back to her, I don't feel like there's a disconnect between your intuition here. There's an innate wisdom of your body telling you this path here is going to bring you happiness. And then there's your mind saying this path here is going to create you money. So this is the smart path to walk. And if you want to ask yourself, where does that come from? This is literally society telling us. How many of us, put your hand up right now, have chosen the smart path because it seemed like the smart choice to make versus the choice that our heart or the choice that our body was trying to tell us to walk? Where did we learn this? Go to school, get good grades in school, finish school, get into uni, finish uni, get a really good job, get engaged to a man. Once you've got engaged to a man, go and make him your husband. Then put down a slab, then build a house, then have two or three children, and then you should be happy. We have been told this, which is why a smart path that you don't want to walk that's going to make you some money, most of society would tell you to walk down that path. But what about the path that's going to make you happy? And the only person that can tell you what that path is you. And the only way that you can become attuned to that is by connecting more intimately and more deeply with your body. My loves, I hope that you received something so profound from this episode today that it really inspires you to be in the curious thought around what creating a relationship with your body might look and feel like. If you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag me, and if you'd love to write what you received, you can write it publicly or privately because you know that I always love to read exactly that. I will be back in your ears next week. I hope you have the most beautiful, brilliant day. Let's fucking go.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.